I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously and is real surly tonight.
I'm a little pooped. I'm a little pooped out. That's okay. All.
All right. Well, you know it's going to revive you.
What?
A story about my cell phone.
Oh, man. I can't wait.
We teased it a few weeks ago, and I'm so sorry I forgot last week. It is. It's important. It's important. So thank you for asking. Okay. So, you know, we moved a while back.
Right. Yeah. But you get to keep your phone.
You get to keep your phone. So the phone was in pocket.
Right.
Solidly in pocket the whole time. Mm.
And I mean, you have to tell the phone company move, though. Right. Maybe not. Maybe you don't even need to tell them. I don't know.
Do I need to tell them?
You might need to.
It's been a month now. Should I tell them?
If you call 911, where are they going to go? Are they going to go to your mom's house?
Great point. I haven't changed my address in 25 years. Okay, phone is in pocket. So that's good.
Okay.
Listener. Good. So we move. Phone is on me. We go to a new place in a new town. We get there. And of course, we don't have internet yet.
Right.
It takes time, right? And the internet people are like, we'll give you internet.
The
we
best
got
one.
So much internet.
Internet.
It's coming out of our ears. We'll just give you all the good internet. But we can't do it for like 2 days. After you move in.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, that's nice. I don't like being bothered.
To make sure you're like serious about the house?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They're like, we know all houses come with a 48-hour grace period. So still have it on day three. We'll come. So we moved to the new house. And I'm not worried about not having the internet because I have a phone.
Phone. That's works like great. The internet in your pocket. Why do I even have the internet in the house? Really?
And I can tether it to my other stuff. So it's like, why do I have the internet? Why am I paying $90 a month for fiber? I could just use Apple.
You know what, Aaron? Call that guy back. Tell him to suck a bag of dicks because I don't need the internet at this house.
Yeah. Now, I can't tell him that again. So you tell him, Aaron. Okay. So we move and we don't have internet. And that's fine because I have this phone. Now, the very first night we are in this house, everything's going great. Mm-hmm. I wake up the next morning and my phone no longer works.
Oh,
and when I say my phone no longer works, I mean the cellular function of it has been fried.
Okay.
So it does not make calls.
Right.
Does not make any calls.
Uh-huh.
It has no service.
Right.
It's basically a brick that lights up.
I remember this point. This was a mercifully quiet day for me. I didn't get any.
Yeah, so you were there. You remember, digitally speaking. So that's a problem because we don't have internet.
Right. And
so now I have.
Of course, in your Wordle streak. I don't want to like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me fucking started. Now my Wordle streak is like 12. I'm so upset. And that's, of course, the big thing here. So my phone isn't working. I wake up, my phone isn't working. I'm like, son of a bitch. Like, I don't have internet and my phone doesn't work. Like, I've been jettisoned into outer space at this point, basically. I have no contact with anyone except my family. And I got that in spades. But. But I'm like, we're not gonna have the internet for another like 2 days. I can't do this. I can't do it. I gotta work. I got a job. I got friends. Mm-hmm. I have text messages to respond to. I have Wordle to play. I've got a whole reputation to keep up. So I'm like, well, I'll go. I've been thinking about changing our provider anyway, like AT&T. Don't like you. Maybe we'll just like get someone new. And this feels like a good opportunity to finally just go pull the trigger.
Sure.
On a new phone.
Because you have nothing else to do that day, right?
Nothing else to do. No. My calendar has suddenly been cleared. Yeah. And I do have like actual work meetings with like, you know, the dean of my college and my department chair. Those are all canceled now because I have no internet and phone. Now I could go to my school and office. It's minutes away. So I don't. So I'm going to go to Verizon. There's a Verizon store nearby. So I go to the Verizon store and I tell Aaron, I was like, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to go to the Verizon store. And she goes, She's like, don't go there. And I said, I'm going to go. It's going to be fine. She goes,
such pity and disdain. Oh, please, yeah. Clayton, you're not going to figure this out today.
It's like, no one, it's never a good time at the Verizon store. Don't, you're going to regret. And I was like, Aaron, that's a bad attitude. Got to think positively. I'm going to go, and I'm going to go right when they open. Like, I'll be there even like 10 minutes before they open. Like, I'm going to be the first one in the door. Like, we'll get this taken care of. It's going to be fine. And she says, all right. In that way that she does. And so I do. I go to the Verizon store that very morning. I get there before 9 o'clock. I get there 10 minutes early, and I am the seventh person in line. Because there are eight 90-year-olds in front of me. They all love to, you know, they've had their breakfast already, and they're ready to go at 8:30 a.m.
Are they all there to pay their bill?
Some of them are. Actually, as a matter of fact, as you'll find out later in the story, some of them are there to pay their bill. So those ones go fast. So we're all waiting out there. I'm like, fuck, this is going to be bad. And so they finally open the door at 9 o'clock, and we all go in. I'm in line. Some of them pay their bill, and they're out pretty quickly. Other ones have a lot of big technical questions for for these young men who, and they take a lot of explaining, a lot of explaining to do. So by like 9:25-ish, finally they're ready for me.
Okay.
And I'm like, all right, still got time. This is good. I'm going to get in and out before the hour is over for sure. And so I'm talking to the guy. He's like a young guy. He's kind of hip. And, you know, we're vibing so hard. Because we're both young. We're both cool. We both totally get phones.
Absolutely.
And so he's like, what do you want? I said, listen, I already know exactly what I want. I want two lines because I'm going to make my wife switch to because that's going to give us a better deal. And she's on board. And I shouldn't say make. She's on board.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that. I don't know why I said that. I'm sorry. Hey, I'm sorry. I don't know why I said that. We agreed on it in advance.
Sure you did.
So we're like, I want two lines. And here's the, at AT&T, I'm paying like $145 a month for the two lines and unlimited. It's too much.
Yeah.
So I'm done with that. I'm done with AT&T. Like, if you can beat that, I'm gonna walk out of here today with two phones. The guy's like, great, love it. Love what you're putting down and picking it up, is what he says. And because we're vibing.
Obviously, yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, okay, so we're going to get your name, we're going to get your address, boop, boop, boop. And I'm like, what's my new address? I don't know. I look it up, and that takes some time. But then I give it to him.
Because I can't call my wife, because I don't have a phone.
I don't have a phone, but I am on Verizon store internet, and it's going pretty fast. Not as fast as you would want a Verizon store internet, because they do internet, but it's going pretty fast. And so we're going along, we're putting the information, and he goes, okay, so now for the add-ons. And I was like, no add-ons. I don't want that. None. Just
he goes, phones, okay. Internet. Done.
That's right. He goes, I got you. He goes, I just got to go through all these. And I was like, all right. I get it. Yeah. Like, I'm in marketing. You know, I know. I'm like, okay, have your fun. So he goes through the sheet, and he's like, oh, so you know, with this, you could also get free Disney Plus and free Hulu and free HBO Max and free, and we'll just bundle it all up in your bill. And I was like, that's not really free.
Right.
And he goes, well, you know, you don't pay for the app. It's all on your phone bill. And I was like, I'm not gonna argue semantics with you because I'm in a hurry. And I said, I don't need any of that. I have the ones I want, and I steal most of them from other people. So I already pay nothing. I don't need them. And he goes, all right, but like it's way cheaper if you get them through us. And I said, it's not cheaper than me not paying anything to my friend Kara. And he's like, yeah, well, let's just like bundle up and see how it, because if you bundle, you'll save a lot of money. And I said, I don't want them. Please don't put them on there. And he goes, let's just see what happens if we put them on, just to like see what the price is. And we can go back and take it out. And I was like, man, now we're not vibing.
Right.
Yeah. And I said, man, I do not want them. Do not put them on there. He goes, all right. I hear you. No apps. And he's, okay, so next page. So we're going through, and he's like, how about this add-on? How about this? And I'm just like, no. Answer's no across the board. So then at one point, he says, okay, and do you want the 126? What are the gigs? What are the gig numbers for the iPhone? You know,
I don't know.
You want the 126 gig or the 250 gig or whatever the fuck? And I'm like, well, I want the 250, whatever that is.
Sure.
It
seems big. That seems like a lot.
Yeah, gigs, that's probably wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want the one that starts with two. I want the 200-something gigs, whatever. Yeah. I want the middle one.
I'm starting to understand why he was so persistent trying to add on more shit, because you are clearly out of your depth at this point.
No, in the moment I was prepared. I had the answers in the moment.
I'm going to sell so much shit to this idiot. He doesn't know the difference between a one and a two.
I want the two one. Give me the one with the two in it. He's like, they have all two's in them. No, I knew in the moment. I knew it already. I'm just this is like a month ago. So right, yeah. I'm fuzzy on the details. So I tell him I want the middle one. I want the whatever, the 256 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's what I want. And he's like, oh, let me see if we have that one. I was like, you son of a bitch. You do have that one. You better go back there.
Come on. Apple makes like two phones. Yeah. I promise you have this one.
And he comes to that guy. He's like, do you care? Do you mind the color? I said, I don't mind the color. He goes, because some of these colors are not great. And I said, I'm going to put a cover on it. And also, I don't think you should be telling customers that the colors aren't great.
Yeah.
But I don't care because I'm going to put a cover on it. And it's going to cover that up anyway. Mm-hmm. He goes, all right, let me go check and see what we got in the back. So he goes to the back and he's back there. And I can see him through like the window and the door. He's like talking to a guy. And he comes back out and he goes, great, we got one of those left. And I was like, okay. He's like, now, are you sure you want the Apple 16? What are the plus, not the Apple 16 Pro Max? And I was like, I've done all the research. This is what I want. He goes, okay. Because if you get the Apple 16 Pro Max, and I said, I'm going to stop you right there. I don't want the Apple 16 Pro Max. I just want the Apple 16 Plus. Let's go. I'm on a TikTok. So he's like, all right, we got one of those left in the 256 gigabytes. And okay, now I'm going to hand you over to my manager so he can finish the transaction. And I said, what? And he said, someone else has to do this. So for reasons he did not explain.
So he leaves. I'm not 18.
And another guy comes up and he's like, okay, let's get caught up here. And he's like going through all the notes. And I'm like, he knows all the notes. Couldn't he just bring me up? So this takes a long time. I'm just annoyed. And so he's like verifying things. I'm like, yeah. We go over to the register and he's like, okay, let's start checking you out. And that's a 19 minute process. Mm-hmm. And he's getting my information again. And we get down and eventually he goes, okay, so, and you got, oh, you want the Hulu and the Disney Plus and the everything. And I said, I do not want it. And he's like, well, let's just see what it comes to as a total if we have it all in there. And I said, let's not. And he's like, well, let's just check it out. I go, let's take it off. And I'm so annoyed. And so he rings it all up and he's like, okay. So he's like two phones, unlimited everything, like a few add-ons, that's a big deal, blah, 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 $260 a month. And I said, I don't know if you were listening earlier, my other conversation, but that's like double what I'm paying now. Yeah. I'm not interested. That's the opposite by a lot. And he was like, oh, okay, well, what are you paying? And I was like $145. Like, I just want to get down below that. I just, please get me out of here, God. Yeah. And he's like, okay. Well, if we take the Disney and the Hulu and the HBO off, that gets you down there. And I was like, you fucking. So I'm just ready to like blow up this entire place. Mm-hmm. But I don't, because there are old people there and we should cherish our elderly. So then I'm like, just man, can we go? He's like, I can get you like $120. Does that work? And I said, sure. Yeah. God, please. Yes. I get a phone right now. And yeah, let's just do it. And he's like, okay. So he's checking it out. He goes, what is it? Okay. And you wanted the 126 or 128 gig. And I was like, no, I want the 256 gig. Mm-hmm. He goes, oh, let me check. He goes, oh, actually we're out of that one. And I said, well, that guy just said there was one left and I'm here for that one. And he goes, ah, no, sorry. You know, we do have that one in the Pro Max. Mm. And I said, that was it. And I said, I'm leaving. And I walked out the door and he's like, do you want my card? And over my shoulder, I said, no, I don't. And I stormed out. And so this is part one of the story. There are five parts. So that was the Verizon part. So I'll cut out the middle few parts, but here's the important thing. So I go home. Mm-hmm. I have no internet all day. I have no connection with the outside world.
Mm-hmm. Your only connection with the outside world has been the Verizon interaction, right? Mm-hmm. That's it.
And it's not making me think I should connect with the outside world. So this happens. So I go and I'm like, I need a fucking phone. So I'm looking and I go to like, where else can I go buy a phone today that's unlocked? Because I've decided now, you know what? It's time for Mint. Mint me, baby. Ryan Reynolds and I are in a fight and we hate each other and we have been in some legal battles in the recent past. But you know what? We're going to put that aside for now because I'm going for Mint Mobile. And so the only place that sells unlocked phones in rural Virginia is Best Buy. Mm-hmm. And the nearest Best Buy is 30 minutes away.
Okay.
And so I'm like, fuck it. I got nothing else to do. Mm-hmm. All my meetings were canceled today. I'm driving to Best Buy.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, as an aside, when you went home and saw Aaron and you came home with no phone.
I skipped that part, Patrick.
Right. How'd that go? I'm interested in that.
Fine. Yeah.
It went good. That's awesome.
In some ways, it's kind of a blank spot in my mind because I came home and I think I was still yelling at myself from the moment I left the Verizon store until I got home and then left home. So I think she just kind of watched and probably nodded knowingly and thought, I told you not to do that.
You didn't get the phones.
So I go to Best Buy. It's 30 minutes, north. And I go there and I drive all out there and I'm talking to the person who's like, can I talk to the person who's in charge of the Apple phones, please? Mm-hmm. They send her out and she's very nice. And I was like, here's what I want. And I tell her and she goes, we don't have that. And I said, okay, well, I'm not picky. Like anything, at least a 14 or better. Like, do you have anything? Cause that's what I had. I'm not willing to go like lower than I had.
Right.
But I'll go like at what I had or above. Mm-hmm. I said, I just want something like that. That's 256 gig. What do you got? And she goes, nothing. They have nothing.
They're a Best Buy. You have
nothing?
They're a Best Buy.
Nothing. They're a Best Buy. And she's like, we don't have any of those right now. And I said, how is that possible? You don't have, they're like three generations of phones. You don't have any versions in that size. And she goes, no, it's pretty weird, right? And I said, yeah, it is weird. So I got back in my car and I drove a half hour home with no phone. Mm-hmm. So now my day is shot and now I'm very angry. Mm-hmm. And so then I'm like, you know what? I guess I'm just going to buy a new phone from Apple's website.
Oh,
they'll ship it to me and that'll be great.
Maybe
they have phones there. So I go online and I buy a phone on Apple and it's so expensive. They're so expensive now.
Oh, thousands of dollars.
Thousands of dollars. But I'm so mad. It's fine because I'm very happy to spend lots of money when I'm very angry. So I buy a phone and I have it shipped to me next day. And I'm very excited about it.
Nice.
Like, we can turn this around. Fancy. I'm like, okay, it's like, they said, if you order by 5 o'clock, it counts. I'm like, this is great. It's like 4:58. So just in the time. 2 hours later, I check my email and Apple has emailed me and says, I think your card was declined. And I said, that's not possible. This is a good card. I have great credit.
This is the good one. Yeah.
This is the one.
Yeah.
The other 10, not so much. This one's fine. And then there goes my desk. I got a new stand-up desk and the buttons, I get excited and I accidentally hit the buttons. So, they tell me this was fraud. And so I was like, this is not fraud. So I call my credit card company and they're like, oh, well, it's a really big purchase. We just want to make sure. And I said, it's a good, I need it.
Yeah.
I didn't call them, of course, at this point because I don't have a phone.
Sure.
So I'm chatting with them and they're like, blah, blah, blah. And they said, okay, so anyway, that's a long story, but it finally gets cleared up and I finally get the charge at like 8 o'clock at night. I order the phone. I'm like, okay, it's coming tomorrow. And Apple says,
yeah, it's not coming tomorrow. It's 8 o'clock at night now. No, no.
You didn't hit the 5 o'clock thing. Mm-hmm. And I said, I did. I ordered it at 5 o'clock. And I'm like, yeah, it didn't go through until 8 o'clock. I'm like, fuck, son of a fuck. God, fucking shit. Fuck. So the next day, no phone.
Right. At all.
The day after that. Mm-hmm. So I'm Tom Hanks in that movie where he's on an island.
Some people find it be very relaxing though.
It's not. And I was thinking about this a lot where people are like, it was actually really nice. I got to reconnect. It's not like that. Mm. It's stressful and it's full of anxiety because you don't know what's happening in the world. Especially now I live close to DC. I need to know what's going on up there. So it's 2 days without two full days without a phone. Mm-hmm. Third day comes. And of course the delivery driver is so fucking slow. Mm-hmm. And so the new phone doesn't come in until the end of the day on the third day. And I am just like, I'm just screaming. It's terrible. That's me. New phone comes. I unbox it. It's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It looks just like an iPhone, which is exactly what I want. And so I take it out and I'm like getting it started and it's going pretty great. Huh. But the thing I have to do now, I have to go from AT&T to Mint.
Oh, you're still doing Mint. Still doing Mint.
AT&T. Still doing Mint. And so I'm doing and Mint's great. I got to tell you, the onboarding at Mint, honestly, solid. Mm-hmm. Solid. Except it didn't work. And then I was like, why is this working? And they said, well, AT&T won't release your phone number. And I was like, they're going to fucking release my phone number. And so I go to AT&T and I'm in the app and I do the thing and I get the code and I put the code in there. So they still won't release it. And I said, what's going on? So I call AT&T. I said, you got to release this phone. They said, you don't have a PIN. I said, I do. And here it is. And I rattled it off. And they said, oh, I see the problem. You want to leave AT&T. I got to send you to someone else. And so they sent me. So I'm on the phone with AT&T for 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. I finally get to the person who can like make all this happen. All she needs to do is send me a text message to confirm that this is what I want. And I said, you can't send me a text message. And she says, why? And I said, my phone is broken. She goes, well, how are you calling me? I said, great question. I'm on my wife's phone. And she says, I can't do this for you. And I said, what are you talking about? She goes, you need to be, have access to your phone. And I said, my phone is, it's never coming back. That phone is, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone. It's never coming back. She says, I'm sorry. I can't do this without you verifying a text message. I said, that cannot be true. There must be a way. And then she says, check your phone. And I told her, I swear to God, this is going to sound made up. For 10 minutes. She's like, well, check your phone. And I said, I'm telling you, my phone doesn't exist anymore. That phone's gone. And she goes, well, how are you calling me again? And I said, I'm on my wife's phone. We'll check the phone, see if there's a text message. And I said, you want me to check my wife's phone to see if you sent me a text message on my phone? Yes. Okay, I'll check. Nope, you didn't. And she goes, there's a message. And I said, there's not a message. Yeah. And she said, there's a text message. And I said, ma'am, there's not a text message on this phone. And she said, look at your phone. And I said, I'm looking at my phone. She said, do you see the message app? I said, yes. She said, open it. I said, I'm in it. She said, tell me the code. I said, you're not listening to me. This, I swear to Christ, this went on for more than 10 minutes. And I was like, you're not like, how would that be here? Mm-hmm. It's not here. And she's like, and at some point she just went silent. And I said, are you still there? And she said, did you get the number yet? And I said, no, it's not coming to this phone. What are you talking about? And she finally was like, okay, let me bring you to a supervisor. Mm-hmm. And I said, yes, please. And she sends me to a fucking deadline and it hangs up. And the rage I felt in my soul, I felt like the goddamn phoenix just exploding with fire and ready to eat the fucking world. So I call them back and I do the whole thing over again. And I'm telling every person in the process my whole story and how angry I am. Mm-hmm. This time they got me to the final guy. And he's like, I have to send you a text message to your phone. And I said, you're not listening to me. And I yelled at him and I said very foul language that I will not repeat on this podcast. Right. This is a family show.
Obviously.
Anyway, he's eventually like, oh, okay. Well, can you tell me then your last six addresses? And I said, I don't think so. And so, but that's why I had to go back and find my last six addresses, which doesn't span actually that far back.
From it's like people, 3.5 years.
But still, it's a lot. So some of them I was like looking up and thank God I have a paper trail on Amazon on my list. So I was giving it. He's like, okay, I'm convinced. And finally he sends a thing. And finally Mint Mobile goes through. And finally I have a phone again. That was 3 days of my life while I'm trying to settle into a new house and unpack and all this stuff.
Wonderful.
That's my cell phone story. Glad you asked.
Yeah. Well,
is that our whole show? What time is it?
I don't know, it's like 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, it is 10 o'clock at night. Hey, do you want to hear a ghost story?
Please. Quick one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, before we go, by the way, but really quick, we actually have some housekeeping to do. Before we start, two quick notes again for the UK listeners. We have a WhatsApp that's fun and unhinged and not sanctioned. I want to be clear about that, but it's good. So if you're in the UK, go check that out. Also a note on ads. So you've probably noticed that lately we have some ads, that have been like auto inserted.
Oh, really?
Show. Yeah, you don't listen to the show, so you wouldn't know. But right, the other people who listen to it, yeah.
I mean, I cash the checks. And that is-
yeah, it's. Let me tell you, it's pretty big money. And so we're just experimenting with it. Now, some of you have told us that the mid-roll ads are pretty jarring. And I listened to one the other day, and boy, that checks out. So we've turned that feature off with our provider. But we're still going to run the ones before and after because it would just be helpful to make some. So anyway, so we heard you. We listened. We're not going to do the mid-rolls anymore. But please, God, just listen to the ads. I know they're bad. Just do it. Please, we just... Every time you listen, we get 3 cents, and we need every penny. All right. Now, ghost story. Yeah? You ready?
Sure. Why not? Let's try something different.
On the morning of August 11th, 1804, the Lewis and Clark expedition paddles up the Missouri River and lands at the foot of a hill in Nebraska, on the Nebraska side of the river.
Okay.
Their guides take them up to the top of a very tall bluff overlooking the Missouri River.
Mm.
When I say tall, I'm talking about 300 feet up.
Oh, okay.
Pretty tall.
I'm nervous.
Not small.
I'm nervous. Just thinking about it.
Yeah. At the very top of the hill, there's a big wooden pole sticking out of the ground.
Okay. So even higher.
Yeah. Like so it's 308 feet is this hill. And beneath that pole is buried Washinga Saba of the Omaha tribe.
Okay.
This man is more commonly, you probably know this. I'm probably not telling you.
Yeah. You have to tell me.
You know, his common, his chief, you know.
The boy, you know, I don't want to mispronounce it. So why don't you tell me?
Blackbird.
Blackbird.
Yeah. Blackbird. Yes.
Sorry. I never actually said that.
English is not your native tongue. So he's more commonly known as Chief Blackbird. And so here's how a trader named Jean-Baptiste Trudeau described Chief Blackbird in the year 1794. Quote, this great chief of the Omahas was the most shrewd, the most deceitful, and the greatest rascal of all the nations who inhabit the Missouri. He is feared and respected, and is in great renown among all strange nations, none of whom dare to contradict him openly or to move against his wishes. He is a man who, by his wit and cunning, has raised himself to the highest place of authority in his nation. I forgot how long this was when I started doing the accent.
It's been changing little by little every time.
Yeah, I'm getting better, I think. And who has no parallel among all the savage nations of this continent. He is able to or cause to be done, good or evil, as it pleases him. It is not his warlike actions that have brought him so much power, for he has been inclined towards peace. But because of the fears that his men and his neighbors have of certain poisons which he uses, they say to kill off those who displease him. You get that?
He sounds like a bad guy, right? But yeah. Like a respected bad guy.
Yeah, he rules with some fear. And apparently the fear with which he rules is if he causes magic that poisons you.
Okay.
If you speak out against him.
Okay.
So his own people live in fear of him. So do the white people. And apparently, Blackbird did indeed stir fear among his own people and the white man by using arsenic that he'd gotten from white traders.
Okay. Yeah, that's the magic poison.
Good old arsenic. So his people eventually discovered this at some point. And that was a real turning point for Blackbird in terms of like his total power over them.
Right.
It's like, you son of a fuck. So they're pretty annoyed about it. And just a few years after that, in 1800, Chief Blackbird dies from smallpox.
Oh.
Now, when Lewis and Clark visit in 1804, they laid on the grave a special flag they had made just for Blackbird.
Oh.
When they left, they didn't realize he was dead.
Oh, that's a long trip.
It's, yeah. Yeah.
They learned a lot. They learned a lot on that trip, I think.
When did they leave St. Louis?
I don't have any earthly clue.
They did learn a lot on that trip. Mm-hmm. Very clear about that. So they brought this flag, but he was dead. So they just put it on his grave here. Now Blackbird's burial on top of this bluff. He's buried there because it's a place of honor. Right? And today that hill in Nebraska is named Blackbird Hill.
Oh, okay. So it's stuck.
Yeah. Yeah. A few decades later, in the 1840s, a young Maryland man named Edward Weeks steps onto a ship bound for Europe. Now, Edward is betrothed to a young woman at this time. Her name is Sarah Mantle. And they are to be married. And they're totally into it.
Mm-hmm.
Edward's like, absolutely, of course, yes, totally love you a lot. But first, real quick, I'm going to Europe for a while.
It's so smotes. I'm gonna go sow smotes for a little while.
I don't think he says that though. Mm. I don't think he'd tell her that.
He's gonna go. I'm gonna go. What's the phrase? I'm gonna go see the world. Right.
Yeah. 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 Or I'm gonna go seek my fortune.
I'm gonna go seek my fortune. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But the real reasons seem, to me, they feel pretty obvious. Yeah. So they say their goodbyes, and Edward sets off.
Mm-hmm.
And he never returns.
Oh, he found his fortune then, I guess.
Yeah. He found such fortune. A few weeks later, they get word that Edward's ship has been lost at sea.
Oh.
So, but he might have found fortune on the ship.
Maybe. Maybe that's what caused the wreck. Who knows?
Will you stop fucking and sucking? We got to steer this boat. So, Sarah, of course, is devastated.
Obviously, yeah.
Yes. She mourns Edward for several years.
Ooh.
Which is a long time.
That is a long time.
She's really going for it. But this is, like, what did I say, 1840s? Like, she's probably, at this time now, several years later, she's probably at least, like, 18. And so she's so old. It's time for Sarah to get married. So even though she misses it, like, Edward's the only one she's ever wanted to marry, of course. She's in love. But she does agree, because she's a logical lass. She's like, Edward's dead, so I suppose I should maybe move on. She marries a man named Arthur Logan. And Arthur is fine.
Okay.
He's not bad. He's not, like, stirring anything exciting in her loins. But he treats her fine. Which I guess means it's not, you know, it's not like today fine, but it's like 1840s fine.
Okay.
That's a today bad, but a 16th century great.
Okay.
So Arthur, they're married, and that's great. Now Arthur's pretty excited about all the gold he hears you can find out west. This is right at the kickstart of the gold rush out in California. So he's like, Sarah, good news. We're going to California. We're going all the way across this country, and we're going to get rich.
You will learn to tolerate me somewhere between here and there. I promise.
Or I will arrive there alone. So they pack up, and they head to California. However, by the time they get to Nebraska, Arthur's like, I don't know. Traveling is way harder than I thought. This is not good. I do not like this very much. And look at those mountains up ahead. Absolutely not. Maybe we should just stay here in Nebraska where it's cool and nice. So they did. They stay in Nebraska.
Wow. Okay.
And that's as far as they ever got.
Huh.
Arthur wants to build them a house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's fine. So he wants to, it's not like any old house. He wants to build a house with a view.
Sure. Of Nebraska.
Yeah. Well, actually, of Iowa.
Oh, I see where. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Because this is how Sarah comes to live on top of Blackbird Hill.
Ah.
Got a river view and scenic Iowa.
River view and something very spooky in the basement, just so you know.
So, they lived there for a few years. Mm-hmm. And it's Nebraska, so it's horrible, I assume, but like no more horrible for them than for anyone else. Now, Sarah hates it, and this is mostly because she doesn't love Arthur and probably doesn't love Nebraska and doesn't love how her life has gone.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that, she's probably fine. But she's, you know, she's like still pining for Edward like every day. Like she's she's not getting over it.
Mm-hmm.
And Arthur, he's fine, but he's kind of an idiot and just like, I don't know. So they're not having fun. So one day on October 17th, 1849, a boat paddles up the Missouri River or steams up or I don't know, a boat comes up, a boat makes its way up the Missouri River and it docks pretty close to Blackbird Hill. There's a little dock right there. Cause this is close to, I think it's Decatur, Nebraska, Decatur. Yeah, it's close.
Sure.
Who cares? Yeah. So, boat comes up, and boats are exciting because boats mean traders.
Mm-hmm.
People are coming to trade stuff. It's like a floating farmer's market.
Mm-hmm. So,
Sarah grabs her basket or whatever. She goes down to meet the boat along with the like other three people who live in Nebraska at this time. And she gets to the dock, and she is absolutely fucking gobsmacked to see Edward Weeks step off the boat. And Edward Also very surprised. So this is, so she thought he was dead, obviously. And he's just there in fucking in Nebraska. Like, it's the wildest shit. I don't know any jokes about it. It's just, it's crazy. So, so they're just out of their minds with each other and just like happy, obviously. And Edward tells her what happened. He said that, you know, his boat wrecked for
right.
The boat wrecked, but he and a handful of other folks on the ship survived, but they were badly injured. They were picked up by a Dutch ship and no one on that ship spoke English.
Right.
And so they took them back to the Netherlands and there was all this shit. And so like they had to like nurse their wounds and then like, whatever. It took him 5 years to get back to America.
Yeah. I've seen The English Patient. I know how it works. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that a good movie?
It's a long movie.
It won so many awards.
Very long.
Sometimes
very
the long ones are the ones that win the most awards.
Yep.
You get one award per 20 hours.
One award per VHS cassette. So you have two of them, you get two awards.
Oh, man. Let's see. So he gets back eventually. By the time he gets back, his mother is dead. And of course, his fiance has married another man,
right,
and gone west
and fled with him. Sure,
yeah. So that's not great for Edward because he's like, I came all this way. I thought for sure.
I fell in love with a volleyball, for instance. But you know, it's
we have three children together, but I'm not letting that stop me. But he still loves her, and so he decides to go find her. He's going to go out west and see what's up. And he learns from people back in Maryland that Sarah and Arthur have gone to California. And so he also begins his journey to California to find her.
Wow.
Which is how he ends up in northern Nebraska. Because I guess no one understands how to get to California.
First, we're going to go way far north. I hear the weather's a lot better way far north.
I will say, I guess the mountains are probably, are they easier to cross?
I don't think. Yeah, I think they probably were always searching for an easier way to get over the Rockies. But
yeah, because they're pretty tough. Like in the Colorado band is tough. I don't know. But so this is apparently the Missouri River was a very popular way to get to California, even though it ends in what, Minnesota.
I think so.
So it's I don't know. So anyway, so he's also there. So what are the odds? It's unbelievable. So this is like, there's the fact that there's not yet been a rom-com made of this movie, probably because people wouldn't believe it. It's so stupid. It's an unbelievable coincidence. And of course they are like, well, this is fate. We're meant to be together. Like, oh my God, I cannot believe this. So they spend the afternoon together. They're of course, like still madly in love and everything. And Sarah tells Edward, she's like, look, when Arthur comes home, I'm going to ask him to be released from the marriage. Which is going to go awesome, I think.
Yeah.
But her plan is to tell her husband she wants out, and then she and Edward will jump on the boat the next morning when it pulls back out and continues on its trip up Missouri to up to California.
Yeah.
So the ship will pull out, and it's probably going to be the only thing pulling out.
Yeah, fucking leave that.
Nope. Okay. So now Edward, to his great credit, is like, I'm not sure he's going to like this.
Yeah, I know dudes, and dudes aren't usually on board for this.
Dudes aren't cool like that. And he's like, what if we just go like right now? But Sarah wants to do it right. She's like, no, like he's my husband. He deserves to do it right. Edward eventually is like, all right, fine. And so when Sarah returns home that evening, Edward comes with her for most of the way up the hill. When they get close enough, they separate, of course. But Edward doesn't go back down the hill. He hides out in the trees nearby just in case anything goes sideways. So Arthur comes home eventually, and he's like, what's for dinner? And she's like, infidelity. She tells him everything, and then she asks for a divorce. Now, Arthur... fairly surprised to hear this.
It's probably not how he's expecting to end his day, I would figure.
He didn't think, that his wife's long dead ex-lover would come to Nebraska and find her. Was on his list. So he's He's like, I don't think this is a good idea. I don't like this.
Yeah.
And he starts crying and he begs her to stay. And she, I assume, is like, oh my God, you little bitch. I can't respect you now. Okay. Stay with you now. But she tells him like, I'm sorry. I don't love you and I'm leaving. And I hope you respect that. Arthur does not respect that. And he starts to get pretty angry.
Oh,
they start screaming at each other. Arthur shoves her, and she shoves him back. And that makes Arthur real mad. And he pulls his hunting knife from his belt and stabs her in the side.
Oh.
So Sarah starts screaming.
Right.
It probably hurts.
I would imagine. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a hunting knife, not like a scalpel. Right.
It's like cool scalpel. Yeah. 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 Hunting knives, I think, are pretty big and also probably like still covered in lots of blood from animals and stuff. So Arthur he's stabbed her, but he's like, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck. Like, he didn't mean to do it. I don't think murder is typically his style, but he's, you know, he's a man. Mm-hmm. You know how men are.
I know. They be stabbing.
Men do be stabbing. So he starts flipping out. He's freaking out. And he's like, oh no. So Sarah's screaming. There's blood everywhere. Arthur is sobbing. Like, he's a mess. Like, it's an absolute shit show. Edward's out in the trees. He hears this commotion and he's like, that's not going well. So he runs toward the house. He breaks out of the trees. He starts running toward the house. Meanwhile, Edward picks Sarah up. Now Sarah's still alive.
Arthur
picks Sarah up. Edward's still running toward the house. Arthur is inside the house with Sarah. Arthur picks Sarah up, kicks open the door, and he runs out of the house holding her.
Oh.
Okay. Now he's sobbing. She's screaming.
Right.
She's bleeding a lot.
She has a knife out of her side at this point, too.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going fine. It's not going exactly how she planned, but, you know.
You know, in her defense, this is easily the most exciting day of her life.
Hands down. It's going to get a little bit more exciting here in a second. So Edward's watching this. He watches Arthur and Sarah run out of the house, and he watches in horror as Arthur, carrying this screaming, bleeding Sarah, runs away from the house, straight at the cliff, and leaps over the edge.
Oh, both of them.
Both of them.
Okay.
Death's embrace. Now, remember, they're 300 feet up.
Right.
And I asked ChatGPT to tell me the same length. What are some, you know, some common day things I would kind of help me visualize the 300 feet. 50 full-grown grizzly bears laid end to end.
Okay.
Or 500 hot dogs just stacked up. tall.
Right.
500 is a lot of
footlongs,
hot dogs.
Footlongs, though. Not the little ones.
No. Actually, not footlongs. It's only 300 feet. So the little ones.
Oh,
I'm
sorry. Oh, never mind. Yeah.
The little ones, yeah.
500 little ones.
Little ones. It's three Kobayashis.
Okay.
Right?
That's not as impressive. Events. It's not as impressive, really.
No, it's not. Okay. I mean, that's... This is my favorite one. Or you can think of it this way. 400 of the Pope's hat stacked up.
I'll be honest. I thought the Pope's hat was bigger. I really did. I thought you'd be talking maybe 100 Pope hats tops.
Nope. That mitre. Nope. 400.
400 Pope hats.
So a Pope's hat isn't that much longer than a standard hot dog. That can't be right, is it?
Having eaten both. I am also surprised. Yes, I am surprised.
Which one was easier to pass?
The hat, actually,
for sure. Yeah.
It's mostly felt.
There's a whole big thing about Catholics and felt up stuff. There's a joke. There's a joke. I didn't hit it, but you guys got it. It's a joke in there. It's a bad joke. So anyway, so that's how tall. So it's a long way to go. One other key detail to keep in mind here is that the river itself had started pulling back from the bluff since Blackbeard was buried there. And so now what is directly below the edge of the cliff is just like earth.
Right.
So they fall 300 feet onto not water.
Right.
Which still would fuck you up. So that's still death, but this was onto just dry earth.
Mm-hmm. Are they okay?
Edward, well, let's find out. Edward gets there just in time to see Serenoth. He's like, he gets to the edge of the cliff as they're falling.
Uh-huh.
He gets there just in time to see them hit the ground below.
Oh. And I can mention the whole time he's running up the hill, he's probably thinking to himself, oh, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. And then I didn't miss it.
On the bright side, I think I just invented water balloons. So he watches them explode down there, and something inside, like deep inside of Edward, absolutely shatters.
Yeah.
It's because it's a bad, I mean, especially like, obviously that's a traumatizing thing to see. Mm. Best case scenario.
Yeah.
This poor motherfucker has journeyed so far and so long to be accidentally reunited with her.
Right.
And they have one afternoon together. They probably didn't even get to like make out.
Yeah.
And
probably like, she's probably like, save it for the boat. Save it for that rickety ass boat you came in on.
I'm sorry. You want to put your lips on this cheek?
Yeah.
You wait for the boat, my friend. So he just goes fucking stark raving mad. He doesn't know what to do. He just starts wandering the countryside.
Oh.
Like Kane. Not eating. Like he goes, yeah. And that's just kind of his life for like several days until a group of Omaha Indians find Edward.
Mm-hmm.
They bring him back to their camp and they nurse him back to health until he's well enough.
This is like this is a theme for him then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's great at cheating disaster and death. Yeah. Yeah.
And then getting nursed back to health. By people that don't speak his language.
It's important to have a skill.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time he's not crazy anymore, then he just goes off and he, for our purposes, is never heard from again.
Huh.
Meanwhile, over at Blackbird Hill, some nights you can still hear Sarah and Arthur arguing at the spot where the cabin used to stand.
Hmm.
And the path from what was the cabin's door to the edge of the cliff that Arthur ran carrying Sarah is and has been completely barren. Even now, more than 150 years later, no plants will grow on this very narrow strip of land.
Mm.
And every year, on October 17th, the anniversary of Sarah's death, you can hear her screaming as she falls from the cliff and crashes onto the earth below.
Wow.
That is the very tragic tale of Blackbird Hill, Nebraska.
It is. Wow.
Oof. Yeah. Yeah. Goodness. Now, what's more tragic, that ending or living in Iowa?
Oof. I think the worst thing is it almost seems like you're jumping from Nebraska to Iowa.
Yeah.
You know? And then you know.
So then you're like, wait a minute.
It. Maybe I'll make it.
Death seems okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Thoughts, questions, concerns?
Not our first bride that splattered off of a bluff next to river. Not our first one.
And not our first, like, kind of Midwest, because the other one was in Iowa, right?
I believe it was, yes. Yeah.
Was that a ghostie? Or was that was a ghostie, I think.
Might have been, yeah. Was that the one in Burlington?
Yeah, it was the one where you fucking knew where Burlington was, you weirdo. Crazy. Yeah, so, Iowa's got a kind of brides jumping off a bluffs magnet or whatever.
Yep. Yeah. Iowa's for lovers. That's what I've always heard.
Well, on that note, Is It's a Ghost is a production of Smith Show Media. All the notes this week were actually taken by me, Clayton Smith.
Hey, look at you.
I'm back, baby. All the funny jokes were, I guess, from Patrick, though he's pretty sleepy tonight. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. By the way, Jen Swanson also updates our website. I never say that, but
new website?
Also, yeah, thank you. isthisaghost.com. And it's been like 2 years that Jen has just been updating that website every single week with our new content, because I did it for a little while and I was like, this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jen was like, I'll do it. And she has been. And it's been incredible. And it's been better because when I do it, I'm like 3 days late every time. But she does it on time, like a person who knows what they're doing. So thank you, Jen. She's so much here. Anyway, so she does that, all that. Our social media team consists of Kai Valonis, Jennifer Jones, and Sam Murdoch. Our merch is designed by Fox and Quill Studio. And I think that's it for us this week. We did a great job. You know what, Pat? We barreled through. We did a great job.
I think we did.
And if you're going to leave your jealous spouse, you do not do it near a cliff. Or else we may be telling your story on the next episode of Is This a Ghost?